You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
CHGO White Sox podcast coming to you live from Studio A of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm your host, Sean Anderson, alongside me, the full CHGO White Sox crew. That is Vinny Duber. You can follow him at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. He's got two articles from yesterday up at allchgo.com. You could read them today. And we also have the 2024 season guide as well. So if you are a diehard, you can check that out. You have access to that. You can also be chatting with all of our diehards like AJ, who are still discussing the trade for Dylan.
It was a big deal.
It's still a big deal. And the man in the middle is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him at HectorWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. And you can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. You can follow the show at CHGO_White Sox. We're being produced today by Sarah.
Hi.
Hello. And you can hit the thumbs up button. We'd appreciate that. You can subscribe to the CHGO Sports YouTube channel. There was an emergency podcast last night for the Bears trade for Keenan Allen. There was an emergency podcast the night before for the Dylan Cease trade. We are always looking to have you, the Chicago Sports Diehard, covered. So make sure you're checking out the Diehard program if you haven't yet. We don't have any Diehard. We do have a Diehard. Hold on. Shout out to Christian.
Woo! Woo!
This is for you, Christian. We hope you have a wonderful Friday. Any
Absolutely.
Other thoughts for Christian?
No, he or she, whoever Christian it's might very, be, is going to get a wonderful show today.
Welcome.
Okay, never mind.
What? Anyways, you don't think so?
I'll tell you.
You're phoning it in?
No, I'll tell you later. Well,
okay.
Well, I don't know. No.
Okay. This show's just for Christian.
Yeah.
This show's just for Christian. Okay. Let's talk today about the positives of the Dylan Cease trade. Our guy AJ, or our pal AJ, baseball kid, throughout, you know, hey, what are the positives of the Dylan Cease trade? We didn't have time to talk about it, but we have plenty of time to talk about it today. We'll also talk about the rotation for the Chicago White Sox, go through all five rotation spots and introduce you to the White Sox starters.
Who maybe they will be.
Maybe. the starters, I think that all of them will be brand new. There's not a single
right.
starter that has
Correct.
Started a game for the White
In
Sox
fact,
last year.
As I wrote yesterday, if you take the opening day rotation from last year, the opening day bullpen, and add Liam Hendricks, who obviously was still working his way back from the cancer treatment, of those 14 pitchers, two remain with the organization. One of them is Michael Kopech, who has been moved from the starting rotation to the bullpen. The other is Jimmy Lambert, whose shoulder hurts and might not even be on the opening day roster
wow.
because of that. So,
fun.
It's a huge turnover in 1 year.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, here comes, Brian Shaw. He feels like family, you know?
He was part of the organization on opening day last year, but he pitched in the minors for a few months.
He was.
Yeah. He got the exact same thing last spring that he did this spring, that minor league deal.
Good for Brian Shaw.
Yeah.
And he's going to be closing out games for the White Sox in August.
Very well could.
It's going to be great. And then we'll wrap it up with Jared Willis. Jared Willis is out in Arizona. We got the spring breakout game, the new fun thing.
Very, very well advertised, the spring breakout
yes.
game.
Did you see one of the games? It was being broadcasted from behind and above home plate. And it was a fixed camera just directly over home plate. So you couldn't really even see the pitcher all you could see was the batter and the pitch.
That happens. You know, I think folks in this day and age are very used to seeing a whole mess of spring training games being broadcast in a regular fashion like they see during the summer. But I remember when I was a kid, when you were a kid, Herb, watching the nightly news, right? Yeah. And they would show little clips of highlights from spring training, and it was literally that. It was just an overhead camera from behind home plate, and you'd get to see whoever was playing in 1998, Frank Thomas and Sammy Sosa hitting home runs out in Arizona, but doing so, you know, from like a family camcorder style footage that you'd get, you know, 30 seconds of on the local news every night.
We should go back to that. Every game that is not broadcast as a broadcast as far as the team should just have a stationary camera that shows everything and just have a person who's in the studio in Chicago and saying what the play-by-play is.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. Thank God for Marquee. I mean, if not for Marquee, I don't think we would have, what, three of the White Sox spring training broadcasts this year? Because...
Well, no.
The first two.
Because the first one was on NBC Sports, and I believe today's, which is against the Cubs, is on NBC Sports also.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll take it. But still, there was one of them that was just on Marquee.
Yeah, so that is true.
Thank you. But we'll be talking with Jared Willis later on in the show about the spring breakout game. Let's jump into the positives of the Dylan Cease trade. Have you guys thought of any? Because obviously it's difficult when you trade an ace, when you trade somebody that was supposed to be a part of a contention window, of a promise parade, and now we are getting a complete another rehaul of the Chicago White Sox.
I mean, absolutely, there are positives, right? I mean, there's a reason that the White Sox made this trade, and it was to set themselves up for future success in the long term. And they got three prospects who they are hopeful are going to be able to do that, you know? It doesn't mean White Sox fans should necessarily feel the same way that they did in 2016 and 2017 when Rick Hahn made those trades to do the same thing, because they know that that didn't work out the way it was planned to. So skepticism is certainly understandable, but these are very well thought of young players who Chris Getz is hoping can be star players for this White Sox team for years to come. Certainly, the higher you go in the rankings, the greater the expectations are. But even even the two guys below Drew Thorpe, who was the highest rated prospect, Jairo Iriarte, who's already on the 40 man, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, apparently he was on the Padres 40 man, so. He's on the 40 man. That's why Peyton Burdick had to be DFA'd.
No, not Peyton Burdick.
You missed the news.
You missed that? Yeah, Peyton Burdick was DFA'd. But,
what are you going to do?
But
hey, Gavin Sheets.
He survives.
He survives.
But Iriarte,
the unkillable Gavin Sheets. Thankfully. I mean, I don't want him.
Like
dead.
The unsinkable Molly Brown.
Right.
But Iriarte and Samuel Zavala, who's the teenage outfielder, these are two guys who are also well thought of and could, you know, factor into your team of the future roster projections. So yeah, there's definitely positives to be taken away here. I just think that, in the moment, White Sox fans lost one of the best pitchers in baseball from their favorite team. That obviously is probably a negative that's going to outweigh the positives at this point. But Chris Getz is hoping, the White Sox are hoping, that over the long term, the positives will be the thing that fans remember most.
I think also that Chris Getz, what he said yesterday is, the first time that they all saw a deal that had the level of players that they were looking for Dylan Cease was yesterday. And that is a good thing to hold on to your water until you see the deal that is needed. We were talking about this all offseason, and I know people were like, well, you trust Chris Getz and his staff. It's like, he has not given me reason not to trust him. I, as a White Sox fan, have to go into this believing that the general manager knows what he's doing, even though I don't like how he was hired. What he has done so far has been impressive. Now, if you're going apples to apples with the Cease and the Sale trade, where that was, you know, headliners, and you bring back the Kopech and the Yoan Moncadas of the world, and people are like, yeah, you got some great-ass value for those guys. I don't think it's that, because I think Chris Sale is a much better pitcher than what Dylan Cease was at this time.
It's not apples to apples. That's the
it's
point.
It's not.
Right? Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then I think Sale still had 3 years left on his deal, while Cease only has two, but I look at this deal and I'm like, okay, you got one player where he's kind of polarizing, where people like Drew Thorpe, and then there's people who are like, no, his fastball being low 90s won't work in the major leagues. I don't know yet, but that changeup looks MLB ready. And if Brian Bannister is the guy that he is, that we think he is, I think he'll get him ready for major league pitching. then you get the young players I want to say Inciarte because
Jairo Iriarte.
Iriarte, because it's the old player. You got him and you get Zavala, young players who are hungry, both Venezuelan, I believe. And then getting a major league pitcher in Stephen Wilson, where you need a reliever in your staff who can be both either carried for 4 years or traded at the deadline. If somebody comes for him and he does what he did with the Padres the last 2 years, somebody's going to come for him and you might get more prospects out of that. So I'm 100% on with this trade. It sucks to lose Dylan Cease, but what would Dylan Cease innings do for the White Sox this year anyways? Like, it would just be for him. It wouldn't really necessarily be for the White Sox because the team we think is going to be a bad team. So wins on a bad team mean nothing, really.
I mean, hey, if
it's better than losing, but
if he's really good and the defense is really good, maybe that ERA is really low and maybe you get some awards.
That's what you're going to get in San Diego because their defense is really good.
That's true. Our guy, Ozzie Guillen Jr., said, I think both of these guys are the property, which is always a weird word to say.
I gotcha.
But the property of Team Tiburones, which is the team Ozzie managed. Mm-hmm. So both Venezuelan.
The Sharks.
Yeah.
You speak Spanish.
See.
Un poco.
But yeah, they're both Venezuelan and both with Team Tiburones, who Ozzie managed. So
and they won the Venezuelan Winter League. And then they got to play in the Caribbean World Series.
See.
You too.
My worry, though, is just you could be happy with all the get stuff, and I guess this is a negative.
Neither of you two are answering the question.
I said positive.
I'll get there. It's a discussion, all right? We don't have to get, this isn't straight to the point. I like how Getz waited for what he wanted. I liked how the value was met, right? They didn't feel rushed to, take a deal or take the first deal.
Yep.
They waited until they got the value. My worry, though, is they can have a good offseason and they could possibly improve the culture of the team.
Mm-hmm.
I just question is, do they have enough talent anymore to even win games? Like, you could be all positive about Fast, but what if they have a horrible April again? Because it was really ugly and they lost, 11 straight.
And they're playing a lot of good teams in April, too.
And I forget who was talking about this, but I think it was Sox Machine of how Pedro kind of shifted from spring training to, the end of April, where he was kind of like, oh, shit, I'm in deep trouble here.
It went very badly very quickly.
Right. Yeah, he was very quiet. Like, if this whole Fast thing kind of gets flipped on its head, I guess.
Yeah, you read it right.
TASF. No, I was just trying to flip it.
But Sof.
Like, how can he truly rebound? Do we trust Pedro Grifol to help this team rebound? And two, they lost so much talent. They lost Elvis Andrus, Tim Anderson, Liam Hendricks, Mike Clevenger, Dylan Cease, Gregory Santos, Aaron Bummer, and then Romy Gonzalez, if we want.
And you're just talking
nice.
About since the end of the offseason.
Since the end of the offseason.
Which doesn't include all the guys they traded at the deadline last year.
Right. Yeah. And, Lucas Giolito, Reynaldo Lopez, et cetera, et cetera.
Rondell.
Grant, Lance Lynn, the sheriffs apparently of the clubhouse. A lot of talent out the door, and I don't feel like they've replaced that at all.
Yeah, I think that, like I said before, it has to take a lot of buy-in from the players to have this Fast thing go. Because if you lose, it's out of the window immediately. And like you were talking about last year, I'm sure the players were all gung-ho initially when Pedro came along. But you go 7-21, they're like, who the hell is this guy? Even though it was them who were making that record what it was. And so, yes, for them to have some type of faith in what Pedro is espousing, wins have to come about, or at least better play have to come about.
Right. I think that's the correction that I would make to what you said initially. There was, you're like, if they start losing, it's all out the window. I think the buy-in isn't necessarily they need to buy into this so they can win. It's they need to buy into it so they can keep doing it in the event that they do not win.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that Pedro is in a different place right now than he was from where he was a year ago. And he admitted that, right? He came in, he didn't act the way he felt that he should have acted last year. He didn't display the characteristics that he felt he should have displayed, that he was used to displaying for his many, many years as a coach versus being a manager. I think he is made the correction to that now. And so I think he's more comfortable. But you're right in that if he does, if they lose a whole bunch of games and then they're not playing the right way or the way that he wants to see, all of a sudden you're in the exact same place as they were in the middle of last season where just nothing is going right. So what Pedro has to do is to make sure that regardless of what the wins and losses are, they're playing the way that him and Chris Getz want to see this team play, because that is something that they can hang their hat on. It's not something that's going to make any of you guys happy,
nope.
But it is something that they'll be able to point to as a big progress from last year.
And you know, sorry, Herb, I just want to, you know, you really can't quantify, I guess you can quantify how many games they lose, and hey, maybe they'll lose the most games ever, but you can't quantify how respectfully they'll lose those games.
I mean, you're joking, but that is the point that I'm making.
No, yeah. Well, I'm not trying to make fun of your I don't know. It's tough to hear after, you know, this was supposed to be the White Sox era. They still have their star of the rebuild, and he just hit 38 home runs, and you know, goodbye Dylan Cease. Like it just sucks.
What I was thinking about last night, and I know Pedro's not the overall decision maker, but how fast will me and Sean, I don't know if you, Vinny, feel that they pull the trigger on Michael Kopech going to the bullpen? Is that type of kind of what Pedro's doing, where he's like, I'm not going to sit back and let you do the same things you did last year. If I see something not improving, if I see you not taking the next step, hey, it's been real.
I'm going to get
that bullpen.
I'm going to guess that is a there are far many more decision makers than just one guy directing that. And I mean, this is a player in Michael Kopech who still could be part of the long-term plan there, right? I mean, so I think this is a situation in which Chris Getz and specifically probably Brian Bannister, but also Ethan Katz and any number of other people in that front office, whether it's Josh Barfield or Jin Wong or whoever, are all kind of talking about this. And I'm sure it is not a decision that was come to lightly,
yep.
But obviously they had an idea of what they needed to see from him, and they were not seeing it, because I agree it did seem fast that they made this decision, but maybe to them it wasn't. Maybe to them this was the end of that road, right? And so if they're counting all of last year and all the offseason and all of spring training before the games even started, maybe this was the timeline that they had in mind to make this decision, even though it looks fast to us.
Mm-hmm.
You're laughing at fast.
How many times? Just you're really fearlessly using that word.
Yeah.
I've
got the F down.
So let's get to positives, because I feel like we really didn't hit that this was supposed to be a segment on the positives of the Dylan Cease trade.
I mean, I did.
Yeah, you did.
You did. You're doing a good job. I got one. The sweeper was a very big thing in baseball in 2023. It was the year of the sweeper. But the White Sox and the White Sox fans did not really get to enjoy that pitch. White Sox were 22nd in Major League Baseball in sweepers thrown, 665. Acquired in the trade, Steven Wilson. If you look at least 100 pitchers who threw 100 sweepers, their pitch percentage, Steven Wilson, second in baseball. Only Penn Murphy, and that feels made up, threw 140.
Penn?
Penn, P-E-N-N.
Oh.
Murphy.
I bet he's a reliever.
M-U-R-F-E-E. Oh, yeah, he is. But 140 pitches were from Penn Murphy. That was 62.8% of his pitches thrown.
Steven, what team is Penn Murphy on?
I don't know. I'll figure that out. Steven Wilson, 561 sweepers thrown, 59.8% of his pitches. So Steven Wilson last year threw 561 sweepers. The White Sox as a team threw 665. So this guy is the sweeper king. All right. It's going to be very interesting to see more and more sweepers. It's going to be, you know, maybe a little bit of the Brian Bannister influence. Maybe instead of being 22nd in the league, they go up to, you know, 15th or so. That would be 1,000 sweepers thrown. We'll see. We'll see if this seam-shifted wake comes to Chicago and we start to see its effect, because it would be fun.
Seam-shifted wake? That sounds like Sean's debut album.
Yeah, the Penn Murphy pitch for
no one will listen.
Mariner last year. Now he is on the Braves organization.
In that Kelnick trade?
He got released by the Nye Mets, and then the Braves picked him up.
All right. So I think Steven Wilson bringing the sweeper to Chicago, that's a positive.
Very much so. I already used my positive.
You did?
Yeah. Sammy Zavala is going
to... Slamming Sammy Zavala?
Yeah. Even though they're not related, if you look at their pitchers, they look very, very similar.
94 walks last season for Slamming Sammy Zavala.
And he's 18.
Yeah.
He was 18. He's 19 now.
He struggled a little bit when he went to high A, but...
He did.
As anybody would struggle if you're an 18-year-old kid, but low A, he was destroying. I think Lake Elsinore, the Storm.
Oh, the Storm. They got those cool hats that's just the eyes.
Herb, let's chill on that slant. That was 56 plate appearances.
Hey, man. He struggled, though.
Oh, yeah, yes. Negative 21 weighted runs created plus is not good, but also it was 56 plate appearances.
I understand. But, yes, he dominated. He dominated low A. What's the Fort Wayne Tin Caps? Mm.
Good name.
Yeah, it is. Right down the
street. Midwestly. Oh, yeah.
Fan. I think Zavala, final thing for me, and then we'll take a break. Zavala and Iriarte, glad that they're taking shots. I mean, you have the ability in 2024 and 2025 to maybe see if these guys will flip into superstars. They are so young. There is a ton of positives about them. Iriarte's fastball is incredibly heralded. He's got a very low release point, and it's very fast, which gives that flat plane, which is difficult to square up. That gives you a ton of hope that maybe he could turn into a starter if he's able to at least find the zone a little bit more. Zavala, you mentioned the plate discipline and being able to, be that young and still be able to decipher the strike zone in A ball with a 140 weighted runs created plus is supposed to be positives, Herb. Right? We don't need to bring up those 56 plate appearances. It's exciting, wild cards that could turn into, true pluses in a way that I feel like Dylan Cease was. It was, Eloy Jimenez was the, I think, headliner of that trade.
I think so.
Cease being a six rounder, you would hope that he would turn into, the three or two of a rotation, and then look at him, he's Cy Cease. So, hopefully you get that kind of jump of what the expected ceiling is.
Well, and it's a continuation of the effort that started under the previous regime at last year's trade deadline, but certainly now, Chris Getz has been doing it as well. Think about, as we're going to talk about the enormous change and the enormous turnover in the pitching staff at the major league level, think of the amount of pitching that has been brought in to the minor leagues as well for the White Sox. I mean, a year ago at this time, I was asking Chris Getz, hey, if one of these five guys, these five veterans that you got in the starting rotation, gets hurt, who are we going to see coming up from the minor leagues? Davis Martin ended up having the Tommy John surgery pretty early, and it was, maybe Sean Burke, maybe? And
nope.
I mean, and there was just really no one for them to choose from. There was no depth whatsoever. And Sean, that's been a complaint of yours for 2 years that we've been doing this, the lack of depth in the organization in general. Think of the amount of potential starting pitching that they've got down there in the minor leagues right now that has just been brought into the organization over the last, 8 months or so. So very impressive work, both, again, give the hat tip where it's due to the previous regime as well as Chris Getz's front office to really not just do the pitching makeover, not just happening at the major league level, but in the minor leagues as well.
Yeah, their last moves might have been their best moves. Both Kenny and Rick were bringing all that talent in. I mean, we're talking about Nick Nastrini, which we'll get to eventually in the show, but they brought that in for, Lance Lynn, which he was not going to be on the team this year. So I applaud them for that. And like Rennie was saying, that is a turnaround from last year's roster to this year's roster on the whole organization wide. And you got to give kudos to Chris Getz and his staff for understanding what they needed and just getting this team to a floor that is MLB or organizational better.
I think if you look at Fangraph's top 25 White Sox prospects, 12 of them weren't even in the organization and were acquired in a trade. Half of them is a pretty nice number. And then if you even include the people that were drafted in 2023.
Right.
There's a ton of new faces in that prospect list. So the depth has been built. And, we could look at the Charlotte rotation and probably name all of the people, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So let's take a break and then we'll talk about the rotation coming up for both the White Sox and then maybe who will be in Charlotte and possibly working their way up. Herb.
What is Prize Picks? Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. I'm just asking questions without you answering it.
You didn't even give anyone time to answer.
Asking and then answering them immediately.
Boom.
We are easily the most exciting way to play DFS. And
who?
DFS. Daily Fantasy Sports.
I was just trying to get you to like say Prize Picks again.
Oh, it's just you against the numbers, Sean. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Football season might be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament time or a fight for a playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of the year. Get in the excitement of Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Conference tournaments are here, which means the biggest moments in college basketball are getting closer. Be part of the action on Prize Picks for both men's and women's college basketball. Well, I've been playing Prize Picks lately. I've been having a great time. My play is usually Io DeSumo, Illini, and going for his points, rebounds, and assists, and especially if he's going against Atlanta Hawks versus Trae Young, because usually he locks him up, and I go with Trae Young less than points, rebounds, and assists, and Io more than points, rebounds, and assists. It's been working to varying degrees. So this is what you need to do. Go to prizepicks.com/CHGO. Use the code CHGO for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/CHGO and use the code CHGO. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Thank you, Herb. And we also want to let you know about our friends over at Ray CDJR. Are you in the market for a new vehicle? If you are, we have some great news for you because our friends over at Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Fox Lake is celebrating the Jeep Celebration event all month long. And do you know what that means?
I don't.
You'll be able to rave about their savings on a wide selection of inventory. For a limited time, lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo Altitude for $439 a month for 39 months. And if that Grand Cherokee isn't big enough for you, check out the third row and lease a new 2024 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited L for $479 a month for 39 months. At Ray CDJR, you'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest inventories and drive home with more money in your pocket than you'd expect thanks to the Ray's price promise. I was at a thrift store and found a Ray price record and took a photo and did not have it ready for this, but hey, Ray Price.
Told you Ray Price was a person.
We love it. And that's not all. Just for listening, you can get a free oil change when you mention CHGO at the service center or mention CHGO when you book online at RayCDJR/service. But you have to schedule before April 1st. So if you are in the market for a new vehicle, then you have to check out the team at Ray Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram because they're the only team we recommend. Visit them today on Route 12 in Fox Lake. For more information, visit RayCDJR in Fox Lake or visit RayCDJR.com, serving the community since 1963. Vinny, you are the reporter. Who the hell is pitching for the White Sox?
Well, I can give you a few names. I'm not sure I can give you all of them. But,
okay, well, why don't we break it down? Because everyone thought it was very funny when Pedro Grifol was asked, hey, who's going to be the opening day starter? And this was when Dylan Cease was still on the team. And he said, I don't know. I mean, how am I supposed to know that?
No, that's not. That was not in response to that.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that was
Pedro Grifol on if he still thinks Dylan Cease
will be. If he still thinks Dylan Cease will be the opening day starter, right?
But anyways.
And that was, I believe, a day or two before the trade was made.
Yeah, March 12th.
Okay,
so
weird if he did it after.
Does he know now?
I mean, I'm sure he has an idea. He probably knows whether he wants to tell anybody or not. I don't know. But I'm guessing Eric Fetty's going to be the opening day starter, right? Because if it's not, then it'll be Chris Flexen. And if it's not him, it'll be Michael Soroka. And if it's not either of those three, then I don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah. I mean,
you got a feeling on opening day?
It's got to be, for me, it's got to be Eric Fetty because you paid him the most money in the offseason. You've seen his results in KBO. You've glazed over him, and you're like, oh, this is the guy. And I don't think Michael Soroka is ready for prime time as yet, even though he's been having a great time in spring training.
I mean, he probably is ready for prime time. It's just, is he going to be the first man out of the box?
I mean, also, he's been half in minors and half in the majors last year.
Sure, yeah. But, Herb, aren't you waiting for the Brave series to unleash Michael Soroka back on the big leagues?
Hell no. I'm putting my sacrificial...
Revenge game?
No, I'm putting my sacrificial lambs out there now that there's no Kopech, that there's no Cease. Hey, whoever is the fourth or fifth starters, have at it. Here come the Braves.
I'm trying to win games. So if I'm going up against the Tigers, I can beat the Tigers but more than I can beat the Braves. I'm throwing Soroka against the Tigers because Soroka could probably, strike out 7. I'm excited for him. But let's talk more about Fetty first because They gave him $8 million. I think that probably puts him in, you know, at least the front running for opening day starter. I think it makes the most
sense.
Seven
and a half, but yeah.
Sorry. Let's make sure that we count each half.
Need those decimals. Half million. Need those decimals.
He definitely will be.
Yes, he will be. He'll be rolling in that cash. But Fetty, I don't think, has shown anything in spring training where you're looking at him and saying, oh, wow, why did this guy sign? You know, he's seemed decently steady. He's getting his work in. There hasn't been any ups or any downs as bad as Michael Kopech, right? Like, it does seem like Fetty is putting himself in line to just be a guy that they could trust every 5 days.
Yeah, I think that's why you get why they were comfortable giving him that money. And I think, you know, folks obviously rush to Baseball Reference and look at what he did the last time he pitched in the major leagues. And, you know, you're like, huh, those numbers are not good. But remember, it's not necessarily about just the most recent major league stats when these front office folks are doing these evaluations. And they were very happy with what they saw out of him when he pitched in Korea. Obviously, the results were fantastic there. But in terms of the pitching itself, they really liked the changes that he made. They liked that he kept the ball on the ground. And they think that that's going to be something that can translate to the majors, even though it's a vastly different caliber of hitter.
Yeah, and I think also to have him as the starting pitcher versus the Detroit Tigers, where he hasn't been seen in a couple of years. And I don't think the Tigers would be like, they won't have a book on him. And so he'll probably be more successful in that opening role than than otherwise would be if they had seen him for years to come and know what he's offers. Because of him coming from the KBO with a new pitch and new style and more confidence, I think it's best to have him against the Tigers on opening day than Soroka, who was minors and majors last year, or Flexen, who was starter slash bullpen guy last year. At least Fetty has been a starter for pretty much his whole career. And even though it was in a different league, in a different country, I think he is the best option for the White Sox as the guy who's leading your rotation.
Eric Fetty Acecini. Is that a stretch?
Yes.
A little much. Okay. A little much.
All right. I'm excited to see Fetty. We'll see. I think that it's likely that he'll be opening day starter for the Sox. So he will be the number one in our rotation. Eric Fetty. We will not only pencil him in, we will write him in.
We'll Sharpie him in.
Pen. Okay. We'll Sharpie him in. All right. So let's go to two. Is it Michael Soroka?
I mean, let's put it this way. I don't know how they will line up in that opening series, who Pedro is going to say pitches game two versus who pitches game three. But if you're asking me right now who is the second most guaranteed person to be in the White Sox rotation, regardless of what order they pitch in, Chris Flexen. He was signed to a major league free agent contract, and the general manager has said multiple times he is going to be in the starting rotation. Chris Flexen is one of the White Sox five guys. It would be very startling should that change.
So you wouldn't be shocked if Soroka doesn't end up in the opening day rotation?
No, I'm just going in order of most likely to be. Soroka, to me, at this point, you can consider him pretty much a lock, I think, because he has shown in spring training that he is healthy and he's having some success. If you would have asked me before spring training started, I personally was not as sold on his lock status. I think a lot of people were, but I think maybe that was more based on name recognition and the fact that he's been a major league all-star before and that he has pitched in the major leagues dating all the way back to 5 years ago. You know, hey, this guy has experience and past success. Of course he's going to be part of that rotation. But Herb, like you were mentioning, I looked at the fact that he didn't start that many major league games last year. He was basically bouncing back and forth between the Braves, who were very, very good. If he was on a different team, he might have had more starts. But the Braves and their AAA affiliate, as he worked his way back from years, plural, of dealing with injuries. So I was kind of the thought that, hey, he's got to come here and show that he can be that guy or even a fraction of that guy that he was way back in 2019 when he was an all-star. He had shown that. And so now I think if you're asking me on this day, is Michael Soroka going to be part of the White Sox opening day rotation? I would say pretty much absolutely. In terms of what the story has been the entire offseason leading up to now, I think that Fetty and Flexen, by just having those major league free agent contracts, were more of a lock than Soroka. But now, at this point, with all these open spots, Cease gone, Kopech gone, why isn't Soroka a lock? I think he pretty much is.
Yeah, I agree, too. He's probably 1, 2, 3. Two or three on that rotation with Flexen and him interchangeable for me. And I think that he deserves it. And there's a bunch of question marks. I remember last year in the offseason, I was like, they need to start putting these question marks into exclamation points. They have 5 question marks in the rotation. They don't know what they're going to get from any of the players who are in their starting rotation right now. Not one. Like, you don't know if you're going to get Korea Fetty, you're going to get 2019 Soroka, or if you're Flexen the year after he came back from Korea, you're going to get that guy, or the guy that's been subsequent of that guy. So it's a lot of question marks for the White Sox, but this is the year to do question marks, and this is why my 5th starter will be a different guy than I think most people are thinking.
Okay, I thought you were just going to start giving your 5th starter.
No.
I was just jumping the page.
No.
Well, again, all those question marks, again, just makes it frustrating about Kopech. Someone in the comments yesterday was mad at me specifically, but all of us, all of us got their wrath.
Good. Son of a bitch.
But it was that I was, you know, saying stuff about Crochet, even though I didn't say that I didn't want him to get a rotation spot. It's just like, if you have all these question marks, why isn't Kopech just getting the rope to be a question mark? I don't know. The one thing, you mentioned Flexen's struggles. The real promising part, or the real interesting part of Soroka, is that 72% of his major league innings have been a 2.68 ERA.
Soroka. Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, is like, when he pitched in 2018, only 25 innings. When he pitched in 2020, only 13 innings. When he pitched last year, only 32 innings.
He's barely pitched, yeah.
Right. It's just, he's only had 46 innings since being an All-Star at 21. Like, it's just so promising when you see him healthy and he's striking out 5 and 2 innings. Like, I don't know. He could be their best pitcher, and I wouldn't be shocked if he is their best pitcher by the end of April. Like, I mean, he could be clearly better than Fetty and Flexen, I think. And those are the three guys that we seem, you know, fairly, like, penning them into their rotation.
Would you be shocked if any of the guys we're going to name in this starting rotation would be their best pitcher?
No, for the reason that you said.
Yeah.
It's all question marks.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to expect, good or bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I would be shocked on the guy that I think that we're going to be discussing as the 4th spot if he was the best pitcher in the White Sox rotation.
Is it Garrett Crochet, Herb?
Tis Garrett Crochet.
Well, why don't you start opining on Garrett Crochet, our possible 4th starter? I think it's probably penciling in, and we'll maybe figure if we want to put him in, but it seems like he's going to be a major league pitcher. Just depends on if it's going to be starting or relief.
I mean, why not? He wants to be a starter. They're trying to stretch him out to be a starter. This is the year to do that. And if he has the wherewithal and the, you know, the body recovery through those days, I think there's no better place to put him than the starting rotation to maximize him. The reason why I'll be surprised if he is the guy, as we've talked about, he has never done this before. He has never been a starter in his professional career for this long of a time. He barely was a starter at Tennessee. So this will be both like an experiment for him and experiment for the White Sox. So if he was the best of these guys, I don't know if that makes the White Sox actually good, because he could just be a 4 ERA guy or 4.5 ERA guy and be the best of the White Sox rotation. Or I could see him being a sub-3 guy, but also hurt all the time, because this is a big undertaking for him to pitch this many innings. What is his high in his career? Like 60 innings in a season?
Well, what do you want his college high? Like, we want to be
his
nice
professional
and
high.
His professional high.
And innings pitched. Like,
okay.
We're expecting him, if he's the 4th starter, to at least give you what Michael Kopech was shooting for, maybe less than that, like a 140, 150 innings. He hasn't come close to that.
In 2020, not including postseason, because I think he had like, what, 2/3 of an inning in the postseason. He pitched 6 innings in 2020.
Mm.
In 2021, he pitched 54 1/3.
Mm-hmm.
In 2022,
he pitched 0.
Yeah, in 2022, he pitched 0. And then in 2023, combined with minor leagues and major leagues, he pitched 25 innings.
Oof.
So I his career 60. High, 2021, 54 1/3.
All as a bullpen pitcher.
Yes.
I believe the answer is 73 total major league innings, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Look at you.
Yep.
You do your research.
You're also a reporter read. I read Daryl's story on Crocheted while Herb was doing the ad read.
Okay, very, very nice. Multitasking. Yeah, 65 innings in 2019 as a 20-year-old, and then 63 and two-thirds innings. It's a 19-year-old in 2018 at Tennessee. I hope Garrett Crochet can bloom into a starter. Hey, I wouldn't be upset. It'd be fun. What an interesting storyline. Garrett Crochet, their top 15 pick in 2020, has now blossomed into a starter who's striking out Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. My worry is just that he said that he wasn't going to be throwing 100. We don't really get accurate readings from Guns or StatCast at these games.
But he's basically throwing 100.
But he's basically throwing 100. My worry is that he's exhausting these bullets too
trying
early
to win a job.
Right. And it, my worry is that, you know, he pitches 12 innings in spring training, really is phenomenal, and then the next 12 innings are, you know, rocky, and then the next 12 innings are brutal, and then by June we're questioning Garrett Crochet's future again. Like, I really hope that they are doing this the proper way. I hope that Garrett Crochet feels healthy and untouchable right now coming out of these spring training games. I hope that they are putting him in a position where he's able to blossom into a starter. It just feels very all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, when they described what they were doing, and they haven't done much of that, to be honest, but when they described what they were doing with him at the start of spring training while I was down in Arizona, the description from Ethan Katz was, this is going to be a slow build-up process. We are going to take our time with this, right? And you've seen that play out in the games. He's not throwing more than three innings out there. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, he says in talking to reporters that he wants to be a guy that can go seven innings every game, because that's what a starting pitcher does, right? Good goal to have. But he's out there throwing three innings in exhibition games. Mm-hmm. Now, from what he's saying, he feels great. From what he's saying, you know, the phrase that he used, I think, to reporters after his most recent outing was, he guided one in there and it was 99 miles an hour. Like, this guy might just be really talented and really built for this kind of, you know, for those kind of numbers. That being said, we have been led to believe that pitching requires an awful lot of specific stuff, that it requires an awful lot of things to make sure that these guys stay healthy and can do this. And part of that is that innings base, right? There's a reason we saw Michael Kopech pitch out of the bullpen in 2021, because he hadn't pitched for 2 years prior. They weren't ready to throw him into the fire of being an every fifth day guy that was going to go out and throw six or seven innings every day. Now here we are 3 years later, and they're talking about doing that with Garrett Crochet. They're not really talking about it. We're guessing that they're going to be doing that. But and it's why the reason that we kind of don't know what to say about this, and we're guessing that he might be part of the rotation, but who knows, because they're not really talking about what the outcomes of this might be. I think that if we're using the logic that we've learned over years of watching baseball, we all three of us would say, maybe they should let him do this in the minor leagues and keep doing this slow ramp up, build up process to make sure that he's ready to go six or seven innings. But they've not told us that that is the way that they're going to go. They've painted the possibility of him being ready for opening day, ready to do this for opening day for the big league team. And so we're left here kind of scratching our heads and wondering how that's going to be. So part of that could be the fact that this is an ongoing competition and they want to figure out who's going to be the best guy and see if he even wins it before, you know, putting the cart before the horse. But I'm very interested to see, now that the two guys that we thought were slam dunks for this rotation are not going to be part of it, and there's all these open spots, I'm very interested to see if Garrett Crochet is part of the rotation come opening day, then what's next? Like, congratulations, you've had a great spring, you win this spot, now what's next? How is the team going to treat you moving forward? Because that will define his 2024.
And I understand we're talking about the four starter, but I was just saying these are the four guys who are probably going to be in the rotation. But if you put Garrett Crochet in the fifth spot, that he's the fifth worst pitcher, just so you can have him have the proper rest between starts, because they don't need a fifth starter at Teague until like the eighth game of the year because of the off day to start the year, and then you know, you could just skip that rotation spot in the fifth spot, and then you don't have to play Garrett Crochet or whoever the fifth starter is until I think they play Kansas City on Saturday. So that's a way you can limit his innings, have him be a starter, but also available in those seven, well, probably those first three games subsequently as a bullpen arm, but also ready to pitch as a starter on that Saturday versus the Kansas City Royals.
I mean, I don't really hate having him go, you know what, Fetty on that Thursday, Crochet on that Saturday against Detroit.
Baby.
I mean,
hey shit,
do the spots matter?
No.
Because your point is like, let's just, you know, give him the most amount of rest until we need him.
Yeah.
Like, I think you'd probably then want to use him early so then that there's enough time between that Saturday. What, it'd be Saturday to Saturday?
One thing that I will note, usually at this point in spring training, under normal circumstances, certainly I think last year you probably saw this, those starting pitchers are kind of lined up. Like, you can kind of count their rest days out until the regular season starts to figure out where it's going to be going. I believe Crochet and Soroka are pitching on the same day. They just pitched on the same day.
Yeah.
And Fetty the day before, I think.
Right, but I guess I'm just saying, like, if they're going to make it where those guys get their five-day routines, those guys are going to have different five-day routines at some point if they're going to be, you know, in the rotation again.
Flexen's on the bump today versus the Cubs. So
okay. All right, so.
And tomorrow is a split squad, Chad Kuhl and Jake Woodford.
All right, so let's get to the fifth starters here because, you know, Jared, my guy, saying that they gave Michael Kopech every chance to be a starter. I feel like that's a little iffy because there's a lot of guys that are mid starters that have gotten a ton of chances. One of them, Chad Kuhl. He started 115 games in his career. Michael Kopech has started around 50. Like, I don't know. I think there was a little bit more rope for the guy. But here comes Chad Kuhl. Here comes Jake Woodford. Here comes a free agent.
Brad Keller.
Again, like, what do we think of...
And then Tuki Toussaint.
So
am I missing? Jared Schuster, who they got in the trade with the Braves also. Those guys are both still in camp. They have not been cut yet. So,
Ethan Katz said there's 10 guys, right?
Yeah. We just did nine at least.
Fetty, Flexen, Soroka, Schuster, Crochet. Oh, we didn't get to the one. Keller, Kuhl, Thorpe, Woodford.
Yes. Thorpe. And Woodford,
And then the one guy that we haven't talked about, Nestrini.
Yes. And you didn't list Tukey just there either.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
And Tukey.
All right.
So it's like 11 guys.
Yeah. But yeah, I think Thorpe is an interesting part of this conversation as well.
Yes,
Herb,
sir.
It seems to be the guy that you were getting at. But I will just say this to tee you up. Mm-hmm. Chris Getz said in the Zoom yesterday that the Padres were considering Drew Thorpe for their rotation, for their big league rotation. I don't know if that was a hint or anything. He said obviously they haven't gotten that far yet, having just acquired the kid. But there's that.
I mean, if you have a bunch of question marks, why not put one that actually dominated down in the minors in your starting rotation with the hopes that he continues to be progressing in the major leagues and also availability to go back down to the minor leagues? Like, if you have to put up people like Nestrini, they have to be put on the 40-man, correct? He's still non-roster invite. He's still in the minor leagues, right, Nestrini?
Nestrini is not on the 40-man roster.
Yeah, correct. So you would have to do a move like that to put him on the 40-man. I think when Thorpe came over, did he come on the 40-man?
No, Thorpe is not on the 40-man. Iriarte is.
So they have to put him on the 40-man, so it'll be tough. But I think if we're going to do it, we might as well do it with the pitcher who had dominant stuff last year.
I don't know how this works, but you have Schultens, who's on the 40-man.
He's not on the 40-man because he's on the 60-day injured list.
Davis Martin's hurt as well. Lambert likely is going to start
over
on the IL.
But he won't start. But he might not start on the 60-day, so that still takes up a 40-man spot.
Foster's on the 60-day IL. Then Shane Drohan also having shoulder surgery. Mm-hmm. So it seems like they'll have
spots.
Pitcher injuries to possibly fill out that 40-man. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that's going to be like the biggest roster crunch, which is, you know, good for them.
Yeah.
Who is that fifth starter though? Are we going to
lock anybody
in?
It's a great question.
Should I take a break?
We'll get to it on the other side of the break. Is that the tease?
That's a tease.
No, I mean, listen, I think the guy, let's put it this way. If we're talking about strictly performance, Nick Nestrini has won that spot. He's been excellent. But he's also only started four games at Triple-A.
Yeah.
Like, do they want to rush him, or do they feel the need to get him up here this quickly? I don't know, and I would tend to say maybe the logic says that he should get some more time in the minors.
That's kind of why I balk at the Thorpe thing, because I get that Chris Getz said that, but Nastrini is 1 year older than him, and he was at AAA last year. Thorpe pitched four games in AA last year. Right. And hey, I'm not mad at the 30 and a third innings with a 1.48 ERA and a 13.1 K per nine to a 1.5 walk with a 0.659 whip. All right. He did really well in AA. That's Thorpe. Right. But I don't know. It does seem a little bit advanced. And I even feel like it's still advanced for Nastrini. I think it's going to be one of these major league guys. I don't think it's going to be Thorpe. I don't think it's going to be Nastrini. Hey, he's pumping 95. Let's go. Chad Cool, he knows how to throw a strike in an 0-0
count.
So
he's throwing a cool 95?
Chad Joe Cool.
Chad Joe Cool. Look at that. Did he go to Notre Dame?
Huh?
Did he go to Notre Dame?
No, I was referencing Snoopy.
I thought you were doing the Joe Camel Montana. Guy.
That's Joe Camel.
Okay.
And Cool Cigarette. You're mixing up your cigarette brands.
I am.
Chad Cool's nickname Sasquatch.
But that has nothing to do with his last name being Cool.
Is he a big dude with a bunch of hair?
I guess. I don't know. University of Delaware. So,
Go Blue Hens.
Third most
Fighting
famous.
Fighting Flaccos.
Yeah. Biden, Flacco, and Chad Cool.
That's it?
Yeah. That's the three of the four.
Didn't, am I totally off here? Didn't Elena Deladon go to Delaware?
Look at you.
Knowing
your Blue Hen knowledge.
Yeah, she did. Hmm. All right. There's your Mount Rushmore. Elena Deladon, Chad Cool, Joe Flacco, Joe Biden.
That's it.
There you go.
All right. Anyways, should we take a break here? Because it feels like fifth starter kind of unceremoniously will be Chad Cool or Jake Woodford.
Maybe. Yeah. We don't know. They haven't given us really any indication on what to go on. I think that the conclusion you came to about Thorpe and Nastrini makes total sense. There's no need to rush him. Why would they need to be on the opening day roster when they can just be on the roster in June? You know, right?
To be even more confusing, they're starting Michael Kopech in one of the split squads games tomorrow, even though he's not going to be. Yeah.
They are?
Yeah. Well, it's listed as
such. That's not right. Daryl tweeted the split squad starters are Cool and Woodford.
Ooh.
Yeah.
My bad then.
Yeah. Okay.
We just had the shirtless wonder outside too. Kevin.
Shout out.
He took his shirt off.
Just for us?
Oh, just for us.
Oh, I wish I still had that picture of him putting our banner up for our birthday.
Well, and it's sunny enough, so, you know, it might be under 50 degrees, but it's sunny enough.
I was going to say, is he listening?
Hopefully. All right, let's take a break. We'll let you know about our friends over at Game Time and our friends over at Leinenkugel Herb.
At Game Time, you think that you shouldn't, Sean, have to worry about buying tickets to your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, the music, comedy, theater events that are near you. And with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their best price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. If you're ever in Atlanta like I was and trying to buy tickets to their ballpark, Game Time's the place to go, because once you go there, you can have their Game Time guarantee and check all the rest of the secondary markets. And if any of those places have a cheaper ticket in the section and row that you're in, Game Time will give you 100%, 10% of that difference. See the view from your seats before you buy, so you know exactly what you're expecting when you arrive. And with all-in prices, you can get your total up front, so you know exactly what great deal you're getting without the hidden fees. And you can buy your tickets in seconds with two taps. Game Time also has deals right up to the start of the event, and also after an hour after the event starts, so it's the place to go for last-minute ticket deals. And with zone deals, you pick the section Game Time picks the seats for an average of 18% savings. And like I told you, with the Game Time guarantee, you find a ticket in a different site, in the same row, in the same section, Game Time will credit you the 110% of the difference of those prices. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app today, create an account, use code CHGO for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code CHGO for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed.
You know, we talk so much about the wonderful summertime activities you can do with a Leinenkugel's in hand, right?
Yes.
With a summer shandy in hand.
Yes.
You can go down to the lake and have a nice summer shandy picnic. You can go down to the Rate and have a nice summer shandy tailgate.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go up to Wisconsin and have a nice summer shandy canoe paddling session. But how about this?
Hmm.
How about you go to the Jewel right now? Because even though it's March, it's shandy season. I've seen the cases out in the Jewel. You pick up a case of summer shandy. Mm-hmm. You go to the baking aisle. You get yourself some green food coloring, and you have yourself a summer shandy St. Patrick's Day this weekend.
Perfect.
Sean liked that one.
There's Irish people in Wisconsin.
I'm sure there are.
Did you know? Yeah.
I'm sure there are.
I've done extensive research.
But the point being that Leinen Kugel's summer shandy or all their delicious varieties are great at any time of year. Certainly, me and Herb today are enjoying the sunset wheat. We've been enjoying the lakeside cherry, which we have over there in the fridge. I love a good honey vice made with real Wisconsin honey.
And Wisconsin innovation, too.
And that's the thing, is that this is all the result of wonderful Wisconsin innovation. The same sort of, mindset that produced the cheese curd, the Summerfest, the indoor water park, the bronze statue of Fonzie. These are the things.
That's there?
Yes, oh, it's in Milwaukee, man. Yeah. These are the things that get it done, Wisconsin innovation. And, of course, it produced Leinen Kugel's and all of their wonderful tasting beers. Here's the part that I have to read for you. Flavor life's simple moments with Leinen Kugel's, the official craft beer of the Chicago White Sox. Go to liney.com/CHGO to find delivery options near you. Can you imagine just getting a Liney's delivery?
At the house
like the milkman? Like it used to be a milkman and this is a Liney's man?
Imagine having your shirt off, smoking a heater on your balcony, and then a fresh, cold Leinen Kugel case shows up to your door. You know, you could be Kevin, you know, our guy
Maybe
Kevin.
Maybe they delivered like via stork, like babies, where the stork just glides it down and it lands softly on your deck. Or you could pick up Leinen Kugel's pretty much anywhere they sell beer. Leinen Kugel's, flavor the moment. Celebrate responsibly. Remember, it's LEINIE.com/CHGO. That's the Jacob Leinen Kugel Brewing Company, Chippewa Falls. Yes.
All right. I'm kind of baffled on this Kopech thing. I'm not trying to.
We're still on Kopech?
Attack anyone. I just want to throw anything out there. A heater, Sarah. I don't know. You have a mic. You could ask that.
I didn't want to interrupt the ad read.
Oh, it's okay. A heater is a cigarette, it's a slang for a cigarette
or a square.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I just wrote. I was like, is that slang for like dart or square? Because that's what I grew up with.
Dart.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's what they say in Australia. Punching darts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, interesting. I've never heard either. That was
it's
a new one.
It's my favorite
me.
Bit of Australian slang. Punching darts.
All right. I don't know any
and
else.
That's
to...
not a knife. This is a knife.
A knife.
Sorry, AJ. Right.
Thanks, Sean. I learned a new word today.
No problem. So we talked about Chad Kuhl and Jake Woodford possibly being the fifth starter for the Sox. Chad Kuhl, 116 games started, over 580 innings, a 4.90 ERA, a 1.461 whip. Jake Woodford, 18 games started, 79 innings, a 5.13 ERA, a 1.48 whip. Michael Kopech, 60 games started, 274 and a third innings, a 4.26 ERA, and a 1.352 whip. He does seem like their best option. I think he is their most talented option, and still I don't understand why they're sending him to the bullpen. Because, again, this team has two spots with huge question marks and nothing to play for. Whatever. I think it's really stinky for Kopech, a really bad sign for him that he couldn't make the 2024 White Sox rotation. But
understood, but you say that for the most part, this is Brian Bannister's pitching staff. I think you would have something to say as a guy that knew him in Boston and saw him in Chicago that he's like, yeah, he would probably be part of that decision-making group where they're like, yeah, with the numbers you just read, great, awesome, better than the two other contenders. But also, they're done with him as far as a starter right now for the current moment. Something happened. Like, I don't think it was enough to give him three spring training starts to say, that's it. But I'm sure they did backfield, other stuff, that it just wasn't happening for him. And I'm sure your guy, Brian Bannister, probably went to the mat, but enough was enough for these guys. They were just like, no, this is not going to work out, and probably works on our team better as X, Y, and Z.
And as Jared said, this was a decision that they came to, you know, even before that Chris Getz told you. I mean,
oh, yeah, I didn't think like Chris Getz was like, yeah, I've made my decision just after being asked this question. I'm where he gone.
Yeah, he gone. That would have been great. I would have loved his answer a lot better if he said he gone, if he was asked if Michael Kopech was going to be in the rotation. Just wanted to get that out there. If you have any thoughts on who else might join the rotation, let us know in the comments. Jared won't be joining us from down in Camelback Ranch, or not Camelback Ranch, Sloan Park, but you can follow him at Jay Willis.
Too noisy there, probably.
Yes, well, he's getting interviews, too. He's doing his job. Wise instead of eyes on Twitter, and you can follow him during the spring breakout game. A fun little thing MLB is doing. You saw some of this with the Pirates and Orioles yesterday. Paul Skeens striking out Jackson Holliday. You might get some marquee matchups. Let's look at the White Sox lineup. Not that great, to be honest. We talked about all the flip and of the White Sox organization and all the prospects that they brought in. A lot of them are pitchers. Sarah, if we have the lineup, we could flash that. Some names are familiar to Sox fans, but some might not be. Jacob Burke's going to be in center field. Colson Montgomery at shortstop. DJ Gladney at DH. Tim Elko at first base. Zach Deloach, Herb's guy, in right field. Brian Ramos at third base. Jacob Gonzalez at second base. Edgar Caro at catcher. And then Terrell Tatum in left field. Mason Adams will be starting the game. And I will look up the spring breakout roster. I think it's interesting that no Dominic Fletcher. You know, he's going to be the starting right fielder. He's on the roster.
So I looked yesterday. So I some behind the scenes efforts for you here. I was looking at the spring breakout roster because I wanted to give Jared some tips on who he might want to seek out to speak with today. And it turns out that that huge long list of dudes that they tweeted out the day they announced all of this, like, it's been trimmed down very much. Dominic Fletcher is not part of this today. As you can tell, he would be starting if he was. That being said, Dominic Fletcher was on that list because Dominic Fletcher is still considered a prospect by MLB.com. If you go to the White Sox top 30 prospects on MLB.com, he's on it, and he's not very high on it at that. You know, he just still has his prospect status. So, yeah, I mean, there are some guys in there of interest. Certainly Montgomery, obviously, is one of the top 10 prospects in baseball. But don't forget about Edgar Caro, who is probably their catcher of the future. Jacob Gonzalez was their first-round pick last summer. Chris Getz called him the talk of minor league camp earlier this spring. So maybe fixing some of the stuff that bothered him after he joined the organization and started playing in the minor leagues last year. And Zach Deloach is a guy that I don't know. It'd be a stretch to say you'll probably see him at the major league level this year at some point.
Could.
I mean, you saw Adam Haseley and all those guys and all that caliber of guys last year.
Jordan Luplow.
Hmm. Yeah, 16th right. In the White Sox farm system.
Is Don Fletcher.
Oh, I thought it was Jordan Luplow. Yeah.
Was it Jordan Luplow?
Jordan Luplow.
It was, right, at the end of last season? Mm-hmm.
I think he was one of the
– It was some former Clevelander, year. But that's the thing. Outfield injuries happen in these guys.
No, Luplow wasn't a Sox.
It wasn't. Who was it? It was some other Cleveland guy. Why can't I remember him now?
I thought Luplow was in the... Okay, I gotcha.
You'll look it up while I keep rambling about Brian Ramos and the like. Remember Brian Ramos. He's a guy that could be part of the future of this team probably as soon as next year. Tyler Naquin, thank you. But Brian Ramos, again, like next year, right? If what happens and Yoan Moncada's option does not get picked up, Brian Ramos is the third baseman, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you would think that, right?
I'm kind of surprised to see him only batting sixth. DJ Gladney and Tim Elko getting third and fourth? I mean, come
Tim
on.
Tim Elko, big power.
Yeah, well, Brian Ramos is, you know, a higher prospect. Let's get him batting third.
Hey, you know me and batting people who are better up in the batting order more. Yes, it should play your better players up of the. I have never heard of DJ Gladney really doing anything in the minors.
He's a local kid.
Is he?
He's from Ileana Christian, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
In Lansing, Oak Park kid, 16th pick in 2019, DJ Gladney. And, you know, hey, now he's batting third in the spring breakout game. But, you know, it's interesting. We'll see if other local product, George Wolkow, he's on the roster, gets any looks. But I think, you know, this breakout game, it shows that a lot of the talent they acquired was on the pitching side.
Yeah, absolutely. I
mean, Caro's there, right?
Caro,
yeah. And then
Montgomery.
Yeah. Montgomery, but he was drafted.
Oh, not a
same with Gonzalez, yeah. Who's new. But
Deloach,
yeah. Looking at the pitchers, Schultz is on the roster, Baroa is on the roster, and Jose Ramirez is on the roster. They will not pitch. But our guy Iriarte, he's on the roster, and it doesn't say will not pitch. Melissa said she read this morning that he's available to pitch. We might see Iriarte. Mm-hmm. Peyton Paulette also on the roster. It'd be interesting to see him. Jared Kelly, their former second-round pick, is on the roster. It'd be interesting to see him. And Alex Spies, who you thought could possibly make the MLB team, he's on this list. We'll see if he comes in and is able to throw any strikes.
So how many am I down now off my projected roster?
Let me go find your White Sox.
Obviously, there's no Dylan Cease. There's no Alex Spies, and there's no Lenin Sosa.
See.
And then I guess I get a half point off for Michael Kopech, considering had him in the rotation.
Yeah. What weekly was that? Brad Keller, the one before that?
It was the one prior.
Opening day projection. Yes. So here is rotation. Cease, Kopech, Fetty, Flex, and Soroka. So 3 out of 5. Right there.
Yeah.
Banks, Brebbia, Chavez, Garcia, Hill, Shaw, Spies, Toussaint. I don't know if Chavez makes it.
Well, and two of those spots are now taken by Kopech and Steven Wilson.
True.
Yes.
So, all right. I mean, Brebbia will probably make it, so.
Well, Brebbia and Hill will make it, yeah. Yeah.
So, you got two of the eight there so far. Maldonado and Stassi, I think you're correct on that. DeYoung, Lopez, Moncada, Moustakas?
We'll see.
Hey, man.
Still around.
Hey, Gavin Sheets is still around, man. Gavin Sheets can play
the unsinkable
base.
Gavin Sheets.
The unsinkable Gavin Sheets. Sosa and Vaughn. So we'll see 4 of 6 for sure. Benintendi, Fletcher, Pilar, Robert. Is Pilar still the
I'm pretty player? Confident with that. He's starting like every day in Cactus League pretty much.
Fun. I can't wait to watch AJ. If AJ Pollock sucked, I mean, that's literally what Kevin Pilar is.
But
bad AJ Pollock.
Doesn't he bring defense?
Way better at least.
Better defense. Horrible bad.
Oh, yeah. One of the worst. He can bunt though.
He could bunt. That's true. He could play run. Fast. Thankfully he could play fast. Maybe he could pinch run. I don't know. I'm not excited to watch him. Spring training. He's got it's good. Rebounded a little bit. 2.458 batting average for Pilar.
Moving on up.
10 strikeouts, 1 walk. Yikes. All right. Anyways, that's gonna do it for the CHGO White Sox podcast for this week. Any final thoughts?
I'm excited about White Sox baseball starting up in less than 2 weeks.
It's true.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We have...
15th. It's at the 28th with the 13
days. We have 6 shows before opening day. That's it.
What?
Yeah, because remember, that week of opening day, we're going to only
first show is Wednesday.
A couple shows that week.
So we're with folks throughout the weekend through that whole series against the Tigers.
Yeah.
Did we not explain this to you?
No.
Oh, we did.
I thought you were here.
That's great.
I cleared it with you at one point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to be off like Monday, Tuesday.
It's exciting. All right.
And then get back on our regular Sunday through Thursday schedule.
Correct.
When the games start.
Wonderful to know. All right. We'll see you then. We got six
breaking,
more.
Breaking
got
schedule news for Sean.
Six more shows until
we need
we
a
start.
Team meeting.
We need a team meeting. That's Sarah, our producer.
Players only meeting coming after the show.
Vinny Duber, our CHGO White Sox beat writer. You can follow him at Vinny Duber. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him at EchnerWall23. And I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. Follow the show at CHGO_White Sox. Talk to you next week. Goodbye. We all silly like the mayor.